Finsider Radio, the Jake and Josh Show, is SB Nation's official podcast about your Miami Dolphins. Check out Finsider.com for more Miami Dolphins content and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with us on Twitter. Jake can be found at JMendel94. Josh can be found at HOUTZ or just House. The show is made possible by Dolphins everywhere, so be sure to rate and comment, share your thoughts, and let us know how we are doing. Now, let's get on with the show.
It's Friday, folks, which means we finally made it through the work week. It also means we are less than 72 hours away from the Miami Dolphins Week 5 showdown with Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champion, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But before we get into the latest injury news, before we discuss the keys to victory, let me introduce you to my co-host, the one, the only, Jake Mendel. How's it going today, Jake?
Josh, I'm pretty good. I got to go cover two football games later. Tis the season. You know how it goes. But after that, it is all Miami Dolphins football for the rest of the weekend. And Josh, I don't know how many other podcasts you listen to, but I have a huge concern growing, and I need to put it out there because in the last two podcasts, I have kind of started on the train of, I think maybe the Dolphins have a shot. I like to think that I put my flag in that dumbass planet first. But today on Part of My Take, they were talking about the game and somebody picked the Bucs who are getting 10 points and everybody else said, I think the Dolphins might win this game. Basically, Josh, I'm getting a little concerned because I think everybody kind of sees that last week was the bottom that the Miami Dolphins are going to be in terms of their standards. You know, it can certainly stay down there, but I think most of us are starting to feel that, hey, there's some injuries on that Buccaneers sideline. Maybe the Dolphins with their season on the line can make a little magic happen.
And that's all we can hope for, Jake, is just hope that somehow that was rock bottom last week. I love how you called it dumbass mountain and you didn't go with like, what was it? Moron Mountain from Space Jam. You could have went with that too, but who knows what could happen. I mean, this is the NFL and the Dolphins have a lot of familiarity with Tom Brady. So let's get into this because if the Dolphins have a chance to turn the season around, it has to start this weekend versus Tom Brady and the Bucs.
For how weird things are with the Dolphins in terms of the negativity and the seasons being derailed, Tom Brady in Miami is the same thing, Josh. I don't know what the deal is with Tom Brady playing in Miami, but there always seems to be some sort of magic in the air. I think that's one way to put it. And Josh, I guess the biggest question that we bring up when we're talking about this Dolphins-Buck game, it is simply, can the Dolphins slow down a Tampa Bay team that is averaging 30 points per game? The fifth best in the NFL. Josh, we saw them play the Patriots last week. I believe that was Sunday night. And it's safe to say Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. That wasn't the greatest conditions they had in that game, but he still did enough for the team to win. He currently has 10 touchdowns to just two interceptions on the year, averaging 339 yards per game. Josh, there's a lot of weapons on this team, and you have to really understand it, and you don't need to put a lot of thought into it, why Tom Brady has having so much fun in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, and it just feels like a completely different guy than the guy we sat here and rooted against all those years and just hated. I mean, every video he dropped last week, I just like, you know, you kind of got goosebumps and got pretty excited for him. You did mention the Dolphins kind of having his number there for a few years, but I looked it up and he's 23-12 lifetime in 35 games versus the Dolphins. So, yes, they had his number.
It's weird to think that's good for a team. Yeah, it is very exactly. Weird to think.
That's why I had to bring it up. And then I also, not to get too sidetracked, but it had all his nicknames listed here on Pro Football Reference. And some of them are the Pharaoh, the Comeback Kid, Sir, Tom Terrific, Touchdown Tom, the GOAT. So
I die every time I hear another one of these. Just a little bit more.
I saw the Pharaoh, and that kind of just threw, I had to throw that out there. But Jake, I mean, I can't believe the guy's 44 years old. And I mean, I don't know that he's ever going to go away, but Tom Brady's playing some of the best football of his career. And again, I just don't know what the Dolphins are going to do to stop that offense because Tom Brady's been on fire.
Rob Gronkowski was out last week, and it looks like that's going to be the case again. You wonder if Antonio Brown's going to be that main volume share candidate. He had 11 targets and 7 receptions, 63 yards just a week ago. Mike Evans was his main target, though, 12 targets, 7 receptions, and 75 yards. Josh, Brian Flores is hopeful that Xavien Howard, who has a hamstring injury, and Brian Jones, who has a quad injury, both of those guys will play. So how do you really see them shaking out these matchups? I mean, I think that you do Xavien Howard on Mike Evans. However, we just did see Byron Jones play pretty well against the big body and Darren Waller.
Yeah, Jake. And again, I mean, this is a Miami Dolphins. This is Brian Flores. So, I mean, we can't sit here and pinpoint, okay, this is who should be on there, because Brian Flores will go completely against the grain. But I think, you know, yesterday we were sitting here talking about Byron Jones and how it was, you know, a step in the right direction. He was back. I was a little concerned when I saw Xavier Howard's name on that list then later in the afternoon. But I mean, even when they're both healthy, and I mean, yes, obviously there was what, week five, there's going to be nagging injuries, but even when they're healthy, I mean, this is a matchup that's scary. I mean, Antonio Brown, I remember him coming back. I was in attendance when he came back and played his only game with the Patriots that year, where he had like a touchdown, I think, against the Dolphins. So of course, so
lovely.
You know, when you got Antonio Brown, when you got Mike Evans, when you got Chris Godwin, I mean, those are three, let's be honest, prolific wide receivers. So I don't know how you're going to match up, but you know, it's going to be a long day, regardless of how banged up Xavier is, how banged up Byron Jones is. I mean, iron sharpens iron. This is a heavyweight title fight, Jake. And if the Dolphins want to find a way to pull this one out, we might just be looking at an Xavier Howard interception or the 27th consecutive takeaway that could be the difference in this game, Jake. And I guess my biggest concern would be to find out who matches up on that third wide receiver. I don't like what I've seen from Justin Coleman. Yes, we like what we see from Nick Needham, but to think if Byron Jones might not be able to go or Xavier Howard might not be able to go, that throws Nick Needham into the starting lineup, and then you might be relying on a Noah Igbinoghi. Then you might be relying on a Justin Coleman, and that to me is not good for a Miami Dolphins team that's already fighting an uphill battle against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Xavier Howard, since his interception, his fumble early in the season, we really haven't seen much of him. I think this is a great opportunity for that secondary to prove that it isn't the unit that's been one of the worst in the league so far this season. I'm pretty interested to see how things go, because you kind of think that someone like Xavier Howard go against Mike Evans. And last week, Josh, you brought up Chris Godwin. He only had 5 targets. So I wonder if that's the guy the Dolphins maybe try to hide a fourth cornerback, whoever it may be, on. And then that in turn turns into that chess match that Tom Brady is going to take away or take advantage of your Jimmy Wilson, whoever your Jimmy Wilson might be in a given week. That is who Tom Brady loves to target. You think Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, and Nick Needham will be the three against Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and Chris Godwin. But after that, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this really starts to unfold. Josh, last week, Carson Wentz had 2 touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins. I just said it. The secondary really hasn't been that great. You mentioned the injuries. So is it possible that the Dolphins want the Bucs to maybe try to run the football? Leonard Fournette in week 4, he had 91 yards on 20 carries. And the Dolphins, though, I don't know how you pick your poison against the Bucs, because the Dolphins are allowing 137 yards on the ground per game. That's 27th in the NFL.
Yeah, Jake. And, you know, you mentioned how if Tom's going to find the open guy, he's going to pick on those mismatches. Earlier today, Brian Flores was asked about Tom Brady and, you know, the success he has and how you prepare for him if an Xavier Howard can't go, if a Byron Jones can't go. And here's what he had to say, Jake. So I think everyone in the whole league knows that if there's a guy that's open, Tom is going to find them. And if there's a matchup he likes, he's going to attack that matchup. I think we all know that. It could be a one-on-one thing. It could be a coverage situation where there's a weakness in coverage. It could be a linebacker matchup. It could be a tight end safety matchup, tight end linebacker matchup. It could be inside part of the field on cover 2. It could be the seam in cover 3. It could be a post route in cover 4. He does a great job. He's done a great job for a long time. It's definitely going to be a challenge for us. So, you know, Tom Brady's going to get his regardless. As far as the run game, Jake, I mean, that has been one of the Dolphins' weaknesses. I mean, we talked about it podcast after podcast, but when you got a Leonard Fournette, when you got some of those other guys, maybe forcing them to run the football is the best approach here. Because again, when you let Tom Brady just stand back there in the pocket, pick apart this defense, no matter how good that secondary is, when you're playing man coverage, Tom Brady's going to get his, and then it's going to be one of those bloodbaths that we're kind of expecting, to be completely honest.
Raekwon Davis, we mentioned in yesterday's show, is returning this week. Jalen Phillips was one positive also a week ago for the Miami Dolphins. He had a half a sack. He had 2 tackles and 3 quarterback hits. All these things go a long way in getting to Tom Brady and forcing him into some errant throws. You got Emmanuel Agba. He's been one of Miami's highest rated players according to Pro Football Focus this year. Additionally, he's been one of the top 3 or 4 pass rushers. I mean, Josh, we want to see those sack numbers. We want to see that number start to balloon. But you have to be happy with what he's doing. And then Tampa Bay is giving up 1.8 sacks per game. This is really what the Miami Dolphins defense compared to the Tampa Bay offense is coming down to. Can you get in Tom Brady's face? Can you force him to be uncomfortable and make some bad decisions? Otherwise, you mentioned it, Josh, it's going to be a very long day.
Yeah, Jake, and you mentioned how we got to get to the quarterback. I think, you know, in years past, we had Jason Taylor and some of those guys that were always in Tom Brady's face. Why not have Jalen Phillips be that guy? He only played 29 snaps last week. I want to see him more in the game, because every time he was out there, you saw him flash. And just a little bit on Jalen Phillips. He was asked about Tom Brady. He said, yeah, Tom has been in the league 21 years and I'm 22 years old. It's pretty crazy, obviously, to have the opportunity to play against someone I've been growing up my whole life watching. I'm not about to be starstruck. You can't really focus on, oh my gosh, this is Tom Brady or this is Leonard Fournette. Everybody is nameless and faceless. So you've got to prepare for everybody just like they're anybody else. At the end of the day, our execution is what matters. And Jake, I just can't stop seeing that guy saying, you know, this is the spawn of Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor. I can't get that image out of my head. And to think that, you know, for all those years, Jason Taylor wreaked havoc for Tom Brady. I'm hoping we see Jalen Phillips go out there and do the same this weekend. Get a sack, get two sacks. Let's see what Emmanuel Ogba can do. Let's see some of those stunts up front. And let's apply pressure because, like you said, if we do not get after Tom Brady, it's going to be a very, very long day for the Miami Dolphins secondary, no matter who's out there starting.
Speaking of long days, Josh, I think this is going to be a very, very long game because I don't think the Dolphins are going to be able to do anything on the ground. They averaged 2.2 yards per carry last week. The Patriots were held to just -1 yards on 8 carries last week against the Bucs. So this is looking like a dangerous matchup where the Dolphins, I mean, if there's any time to see that dink and dunk offense, I think it's this week.
Jake, this run game has been absolutely, you know, it's been head scratching. One week you sit there and we come on here and say Myles Gaskin's the back to watch. He's, you know, becoming an asset in the passing game, the run game. The next week, Malcolm Brown's out there. So whatever it is, the Dolphins got to realize that they got to go out there and run this football and stick with it because that's kind of been the biggest thing that we've seen. You know, yes, it's been up and down on the ground, but, you know, when they do have success, when Myles Gaskin does rip off one of those big runs, the next series, you know, he's out there, you're just coming out pass. So slow the game down, try to establish that run game. But if you go down early, like we kind of expect against Tampa Bay, like we've seen in previous weeks, I mean, then that's when they're going to have to come out there back against the wall and throw the football. So I guess for as much as we want to see that rushing attack get established, as much as we want to see those guys go out there and grind the rock, maybe, you know, they're going to get down in this game and they're going to have to throw with their backs against the wall.
Yeah, Mac Jones, he set the rookie record, I think, dinking and dunking the football at 20 straight completions last week. And the name of the game is really just giving yourself those opportunities to throw haymakers. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to hit them, but you need to take those chances in order to keep opposing defenses honest. Josh, last week, the Dolphins were 3-for-11 on third down. If you can't string together one or two first downs, I mean, you're not taking shots at the end zone. You need to do whatever you can to keep the ball for 3-4 minutes just to kind of burn that time of possession to give your defense a rest. Because if you just take three shots down the field, boom, your defense is right back out there. You have Tom Brady right back out there. So I think the Dolphins are going to walk that fine line. I think they're going to try to run the football. For me, I think the concern is what we've seen all year. Are they going to make the adjustments quick enough to stay in this football game? I guess this is probably a good time to bring up the offensive line. Greg Mance is dealing with a neck injury. Maybe we see Austin Reeder. But Josh, this is going to be the huge story. Can Austin Jackson, you know, he's been someone who's talked like he's been growing confidence each and every week. Is he going to have this 1 week without a penalty finally? Are we going to see that offensive line open up maybe just a couple holes or keep Brissett's jersey, I don't know, 20% more cleaner? That might be all the Dolphins need to get this offense going, especially when we talk about the Bucs and the injuries they have on that side of the football.
And that's one of the things we keep forgetting, you know, there, how many times has a game started where a crucial penalty has pretty much set the drive back. And at that point, you know, you're swimming up a creek without a paddle. So I'm sure Austin Jackson is going to have that crippling play. Jake, Austin Reeder, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I think Flores mentioned, you know, he could play this week and they literally just poached him. And it goes back to what you said. I mean, he was on the practice squad last week, I guess, suited up for New Orleans. So whatever it is, they got to figure it out because that front in Tampa Bay is just out of this world. I mean, they got Vita Vey, they got Shaq Barrett, they got some of these other guys up there that are just disruptors. And again, when this offensive line has already been an issue, when Jacoby Brissett, you know, holds onto the ball way too long and, you know, doesn't see some open receivers. I mean, this could be a very long day. And I just feel like they're going to be out there smelling blood in the water and doing everything they can to, you know, put some hits on Jacoby Brissett and force those turnovers. Because again, this is going to be a long day for the Dolphins.
Brissett was sacked 3 times last week. There was 4 quarterback hits, and I don't think anyone will really come out and say the Colts have one of the better pass rushes in the league. The Dolphins are allowing 3.2 sacks per game. That's the NFL's 4th worst mark. And linebacker Jason Pierre-Paul is one of the guys who will be playing for the Bucs. Josh, this, though, is the matchup. If the Dolphins can do enough to keep Brissett alive, I guess is one way to put it, they have the playmakers on the outside, and the Buccaneers are going to be without 2 of their 3 opening day cornerbacks. Remember, they made a huge stink about they were returning all their starters, and it's just really hard to stay healthy for 16 games in the NFL. The Buccaneers are also allowing 327 passing yards per game, the league's worst mark. But we got Jacoby Brissett, who didn't pass for more than 200 yards last week. And Josh, I don't think the offensive line was the issue last week, but Brissett needs to be comfortable and he needs to start, you know, throwing the ball. Otherwise, he's going to get picked apart like he was late last week.
Yeah, and I mean, when I was going back and editing the podcast, I don't know how many times I said this offensive line has been atrocious and this and that. And, you know, we've seen some growth throughout the week. So maybe I was a little bit down on that. Jake, I'm looking over their front seven. And my God, it looks like one of those Madden Ultimate teams. I mean, they got Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vey, William Golston, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, Lavonte David, and Shaq Barrett. So holy shit, dude, that sounds like an NFC All-Star Pro Bowl team right there. But again, I guess it goes back to if they can protect Brissett and give him that time. I mean, we've seen week after week, that secondary is definitely vulnerable. And with Antoine Winfield out of lineup and some of those other injuries, like you said, I mean, maybe this is that game where Sick can go out there and turn this whole thing around. I mean, because again, Jake, this is just that game where we're all week long, you're sitting there, you're dreading it. You're thinking the Dolphins have no chance. And, you know, come Sunday, we're going to be in this thing. You know, we're going to throw that out there. Let's plant our flag on Dumbass Mountain. We're going to be in this one.
The team wants to get Devontae Parker more involved. And Josh, when you're talking about wide receivers, if you only have 3-4 seconds to get the ball out, not even that, maybe 1.5 to 2 seconds. I mean, give Devontae Parker a shot, especially against this secondary. And I think he can make some magic happen, despite the fact I think he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Additionally, Barry Jackson, Miami Herald, added that we're supposed to expect more from Preston Williams and maybe Albert Wilson, too. We mentioned it a bit in our show yesterday. I'd love to see Preston Williams lining up in the slot, let him run a few different routes, and let him simply get open against linebackers. I think he does a fantastic job at that. That's how you kind of play to the strengths the Miami Dolphins will have this week. And again, Josh, it's the coaching staff. Are they going to put their guys in the right situations to win? This is how it starts. And if anybody knows how to counter the Bucs, knows how to counter Tom Brady, you think it'd be this coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone has, you know, a little bit of an intel on what Tom Brady's weaknesses are, it's got to be Tom Brady. Jake, I was almost saying rut-row like Scooby-Doo when you mentioned Devontae Parker, because yesterday I broke my hand trying to pat ourselves on the back for saying this offense needed to go through him and Gesicki. And then, of course, it comes out, you know, he's dealing with some hamstring tightness. So hopefully he's good to go. Flores did say today that is probably going to be a game-time decision. And, you know, we're sitting here talking about the run game. I mean, if you're starting to lose, you know, one receiver after another, I mean, they might have to rely on this run game more than expected. You mentioned the unicorn. Flores had a nice quote on him, said physically he's been in a good place, he's running well, he's in shape. I think mentally he's in a good place also. I think he's excited to get an opportunity. Went on to say that he's working his ass off. So, you know, I don't know if this means a bigger role for Preston Williams, Albert Wilson. We didn't even mention Mac Hollins, who I continue to go back to training camp and how some of those other teams said this guy was, you know, that mismatch nightmare, this and that. So I don't know who's in line for bigger targets, but when we're sitting here, you know, clamoring for DVP to get more involved, Gesicki, it's definitely not ideal to hear that he's already dealing with a hamstring injury. So hopefully he's back out there because we need that match up this weekend.
That's the name of the game, Josh. That kind of wraps up everything, all the different situations we're going to see the team in. Of course, we didn't talk about sending out Jason Sanders just to kind of get a delay game. I don't know how the Dolphins are going to use that to their advantage this week, but I'm sure they're going to try. Josh, my fantasy guy for this week is Mike Gesicki. I think the Dolphins have gotten him involved a lot better over the last 2 weeks. And again, it's still horribly inconsistent. He's had 18 targets over the last 2 weeks. He turned on the Jets in the second half against the Colts with 5 receptions on 5 targets. You saw how well the Dolphins started to move the ball when they just focused on their playmakers, when they scripted plays to them, where Jacoby Brissett, this is who you're throwing to, kind of make it that simple. He scored a touchdown and he also helped Devontae Parker score his touchdown. So I think Gesicki is going to be involved if the Dolphins are going to do anything, especially in the red zone. He's going to be the guy they're going to be looking for.
I love that you said Mike Gesicki, always starting him as a tight end. I had to bring up the CK Parrott thread. He said, when the Dolphins go to 11 personnel with any of their tight ends other than Mike Gesicki, they've executed 27 plays for 24 yards. That's 0.9 yards per attempt. So, Jake, I mean, we talk about how big of a playmaker he is. I mean, get Mike Gesicki more involved, please, because that's the only way this Dolphins team stands a chance. I'm going to go the other route. I mean, I feel like we're going back and forth every week, you know, whether it's Myles Gaskin, Mike Gesicki, Jalen Waddle. I'm going back to Jalen Waddle. I mean, I think if Devontae Parker's banged up like it sounds like, I mean, Jalen Waddle, honestly, is, you know, the most consistent or reliable target the Dolphins have right now. He's caught 25 of 30 targets for 200 yards. That's 8 yards per catch. Only has that one touchdown. But, Jake, I just feel like any second now he's going to break out that big play. We know he's going to get more targets in the return game. I think Flores alluded to that earlier today, saying that he's just this dynamic player that makes guys miss. So I think it's going to be Jalen Waddle. Obviously, if you're in a PPR league, it's probably going to be a lot nicer because the Dolphins seem to fabricate him 4 or 6 touches a game. But I think he's going to break off that big one. You know, Will Fuller's out of lineup again. Parker's banged up. You don't have Jakeem Grant anymore to take the top off. Let's see Jalen Waddle burn that banged up Buccaneers defense and get us some fantasy points this week.
Josh, that's a great pick. And I'm not putting anyone in the burn book yet, but we're entering week 5. I'm kind of tired of hearing good things and I want to see them. So seeing Jalen Waddle have that breakout game, we mentioned it last week. I mean, I remember saying to myself after he had those 2 receptions for like 40 yards early in the game, I thought, wow, this looks like what Jalen Waddle should look like in the Miami Dolphin offense. And then they target him just one more time the rest of the game. So again, the coaching staff, man, I hate to keep coming back to here, but I think it really depends on how confident they are that they can get these guys involved. Josh, the Bucs are favored by 10 points in this game. Vegas is projecting a 30-20 game. Would you see that really unfolding? I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. I think the Bucs get up 20-0 early and the Dolphins, you know, tic-tac their way back and keep it relatively close within 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of where we're at, right? I mean, the 10-point thing, I think it might have dropped down to 9.5 yesterday. I don't know if that means they're starting to bet on the Dolphins, but Jake, I mean, in weeks past, we came on here and we said we weren't going to be Debbie Downers or whatever, but I just don't know how the Dolphins can win this game. If we're giving our predictions, man, I got to be completely honest. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, 34-21. I mean, I do kind of see this being a high scoring game. I mean, we've seen in weeks past, the Dolphins have gone down early. They battled back. They got some of those garbage time points. So I hope I'm wrong, but pray to God that I'm wrong. And if the Dolphins do want to stay in this, I don't think they can let the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, score 30 points at all. So I'm going to go with, I think I said 34-21. Hopefully it's a lot closer than that. And the Dolphins can pull this one out.
I'm doing it, Josh. I'm on Dumbass Hill, Dumbass Planet, and I'm sticking here. I've been waiting all week to kind of bring this up. The fact that I think Brissett is going to need to take chances in this game. The Dolphins can't be feared to turn the ball over. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't punted in their last 18 drives. Not all 18 were touchdowns. Not all 18 were field goals. There were interceptions in there. There were fumbles. This is a team that has to accept the fact there are going to be mistakes, but they also have the talent to hit the other side of that bet in terms of Devontae Parker makes that big catch. Then all of a sudden you can run the football and it kind of has that domino effect, but you really need to set the tone. And if it takes you 3 shots to set the tone, it doesn't matter because you're facing a team where you are a completely, truly an underdog. So I think that's the key. You go out to Brissett and you say, have fun. Give him some sort of confidence boost because he's going to have to take chances, especially against the secondary. He's going to have to trust his guys are going to be open. And then, Josh, you get to Tom Brady by pressuring him right up the middle. You get into his face. Hello, Raekwon Davis. I rest my case.
Hello, Raekwon Davis. Hello, Jalen Phillips. Whatever it takes. Find a way to close that pocket. I mean, Emmanuel Agba, right? He needs to have the game of his life. Whatever it takes, Jake, but I think you have a pretty nice recipe there. I don't know if it matters, but lifetime, the Dolphins are 5-6 against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So these two teams have not met as much as maybe we have thought, but an in-state rivalry. Let's pull this shit out, man. Let's beat the Bucs, and then we're going to be all on Twitter, just like we said. You know, we're going to see you again in February. We're going to see you in the Super Bowl. I can't wait to try to spin this, you know, in the most positive way possible, even if the Dolphins somehow only lose by 3-7 points.
Josh, the coolest thing ever would be if the Dolphins win this game and then lose to the dumpster fire Jags in London. Oh, I think that'd be the most poetic Dolphins thing in the entire world. But we're running before we're walking here. So, Josh, let's wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Sorry it was a little bit of a weird schedule this week, but I think we made it work. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Follow us on Twitter at Houtz, H-O-U-T-Z. I'm at JMendel94. Josh, take us on out of here before I say more stupid things that the Dolphins might do something good this weekend.
Yeah, guys, like Jake said, sorry that our schedule is a little messed up. Hopefully my voice sounds much better in this podcast, but we're 1-3, guys. Season is not over. Enjoy every Sunday like it's your last. Who knows? Maybe we'll find a way to upset Tom Brady and the defending Super Bowl champs. For Finsider Radio, the Jake and Josh Show, I'm Josh Houtz. That's Jake Mendel. We'll talk to you next week with our recap of Sunday's matchup.
Fins up.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. The greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Dolphins number one.